You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The mediation and all the other workers who can't afford to go to mediation, they are still facing this kind of injustice.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
A recent article published in the New Zealand Medical Journal alleges that modern forms of slavery are still largely hidden, and that frontline healthcare workers can do more to help these people. I spoke with the report's lead author, Dr. Paula King, about the report, and began by asking her to summarise its findings.
We wrote an article about slavery and health in New Zealand and what is the role of the health sector, which was published in the New Zealand Medical Journal last Friday. And basically, we were highlighting that modern forms of slavery, which also include forced underage and servile forms of marriage and worker exploitation, are still largely hidden, and they have serious health consequences, and we're saying that that's a neglected issue within the health system. So we don't have any official figures specifically for New Zealand, but New Zealand research has identified a range of industry sectors in which exploitation is occurring. So the list is quite long. There's dairy, horticulture, construction, fishing, sex work, hospitality, domestic work, and also concerning for us, because most of the authors were our doctors, there's also slavery occurring in the health and aged care sector. But there's also in New Zealand more recently been reports of slavery involving forced and early underage marriage. So we know internationally there are 40.3 million victims of slavery worldwide. We also know that victims of slavery are at increased risk of acute and chronic physical and mental health problems and injuries from dangerous living or working conditions, physical sexual abuse. So they're likely to come into contact with health workers, and we suspect that health workers may have had contact with people in situations of slavery, but it's unlikely that they would have had the knowledge, resources or skills to identify victims, and then even if they did, to be able to offer effective help.
So currently, is there anything medical workers can do if they spot victims of slavery?
Sure. So what we are saying is that health workers in New Zealand are in a position of power, and they actually and they hold, you know, they hold a privileged position in the health sector. They can and should be leading advocates for change at government, health system and organisational levels to address slavery and its health consequences. So we've highlighted that a robust, based on the evidence, a robust health response to slavery includes the ability to identify current victims or those at risk and to treat them in a culturally competent and trauma-informed manner in collaboration with other services. So in New Zealand, health workers can obviously improve their own cultural competency, knowledge and expertise with regards to addressing slavery, but also take the lead on developing protocols and guidelines, including referral processes within their own health organisations and referral processes to other agencies, for example, to Oranga Tamariki, or because we're aware that children are in situations of slavery, and also to police. They can also take a lead in developing guidelines and training resources with their own professional bodies. For example, for us it would be the Medical Council of New Zealand, but for other health workers it'll be for their own professional bodies. But also for healthcare workers to build alliances with local organisations who work with migrants and refugees, and also who work with women's refugees.
And should the government be doing more in this particular area?
Within the health sector, we're definitely saying that we think that the Minister of Health and the Ministry of Health should demonstrate some leadership in this area to basically ensure that people at all levels of the health sector, not just at the ground level, but at every level of the health sector, so we're talking at a system level, policy level as well, are working on how to address slavery. We would also say that there's a lot of legislation in New Zealand that doesn't protect people from being exploited. In fact, it supports it. So we would say that we've definitely advocated in our article for New Zealand to look at the UK, which is implementing a modern slavery act. So that was in about 2005 that they did that, and to look at whether or not New Zealand should have a modern slavery act. I mean, I think they should. But there's definitely a lot of holes in our legislation, and that's essentially driving the problem.
And is it quite difficult for victims of slavery to get healthcare? Like, does it have to be quite serious before employer or whoever actually takes them to see a doctor?
Yeah. Well, there's definitely know that there are some scenarios that might ring alarm bells for health workers. For example, if you've got migrant workers coming in with workplace injuries, so I'm saying that in inverted commas, because quite often it'll be likely because they've been assaulted, and they might be accompanied by a superior who insists on rushing the treatment and essentially it doesn't really have the best interest of the person in mind and is trying to get them back to the work situation. There's other alarm bells, for example, like an infectious outbreak. So that sort of tends to be in the area of public health, where it's found where, you know, the healthcare workers involved find that workers are living together in really crowded conditions. That should ring alarm bells about what situations they're actually in. But the other thing is that quite often, because slavery is quite broad, so we're talking about worker exploitation, but also, for example, forced marriage. We're also saying that victims may be going to doctors for routine care, so this might be in the primary care setting, but it might not be an urgent problem. It might be something like contraception or something like that. But they show telltale signs of exploitation, for example, unexplained injuries or contradictions in their stories and behaviour, or not knowing their home address or lack of personal identification. One thing that we've really made clear is that victims of slavery do have barriers to accessing healthcare, and some of that is because the Health and Disability Act has very limited eligibility criteria for people who are New Zealand citizens to be over and above the normal barriers to access. For example, if they're in a situation of coercion, they might not be able to get to the, be able to see a doctor or health worker anyway. But also, even if they could, there's really limited eligibility criteria that doesn't really align with the definition of slavery. So definitely people can have access to services if they are proven victims of human trafficking under the legislation in the health sector, but that's only one subset, I guess, of the broad definition. So you'll have children and situations of slavery, if we're talking about forced marriage, and that's occurring as well, that are excluded from having access to services.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.